Hello, K-drama lovers. You are listening to Destined to Be in Autumn's Concerto. I'm Marcia.
And I'm Risa.
And welcome to our talk about the Korean doctor. Wrong. You're right.
It's the Korean. He is a Korean doctor.
Korean doctor, also called Dr. Romantic 3.
So this, what's fascinating about this drama or this show is that our episodes 1 and 2 were a caller or a listener was like, can you talk about it? And we did. And I'm glad she asked us to do it because I was not on board with the first season, but I was on board with the second season. And I think you liked the first season.
I did.
Better than I liked better than you liked the second season, right?
No, I liked them both.
Okay.
The first one was more dramatic.
Theater.
More theatrical.
And then season two was a TV show.
Season two was like a TV show. So it had both of us.
Yeah.
And this season is a bit of a blend, really.
It is.
After many years of obstacles, Dr. Kim is just about to realize his dream of building the best trauma center in South Korea. The right people are in place. The building has been erected, and all they need is clearance from the building inspectors to open their new facilities. But a phone call on a not-so-busy Friday has them treated wounded patients fleeing from North Korea in the middle of a political powder keg. Will they follow proper protocol or save lives, no matter what the zip code? Dr. Kim is poised to shake things up again as he embraces the romanticism of medicine while battling the reality of striking staff and bureaucratic red tape.
I love that. Oh, that really summed up season 3.
So what did you think of the drama?
Okay, I just want to put this caveat out there that I watched season one, you know, theater. Season two, I was already hooked. Season three, it was just, I knew what to expect. I just enjoyed the ride. I loved every cameo.
Wow.
What I love the most about the show is that for 3 seasons, they have been able to keep the exact same cast and just add new characters and new people to kind of keep it interesting.
What I find about Dr. Romantic, which shocked me, is that it just seems like it just does the same thing over and over again. And yet, I continue to watch it. I don't usually do things like that.
Continue. It
follows the same, pattern.
It's like any medical show. Like if you watch Grey's Anatomy, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's a rhythm
but
of
even,
the same
even
type of thing.
Grey's Anatomy has a little bit of differences. This one I find, here they come. They come in. Almost like a comic book. Almost like a comic book. The cases are different, yes.
To me, what I loved, it did feel like a continuation. Like, once I because, again, I think what happened was I watched the second season, then I went back to rewatch the first season. Or was it you did the opposite?
You did the first.
I did first, and I did second.
No, you did the second, and then you did the first.
And you did first, second?
Yes, I did it in
order. I just remember going when I was missing so much things, and I think in the first season.
Yeah.
Because I watched the second season, then I went back to the first, and then I started picking up on the connections of the thread of he's been devising or wanting this trauma center for years.
From the beginning. Before we even knew wanted to do.
What he was trying to do. He's been wanting it. Yeah. And then to see season 3, because I kept seeing I saw some stills, like they do photo stills before it releases. So I was like, oh, he still has no trauma center? And then you watch the show and it's kind of like, oh my gosh, there it is hiding behind this hospital. It still looks like a dungeon. Why haven't they fixed this sign? It just was, as a viewer, it
no
felt
budget,
like
no
it
budget.
Was fan service. I felt season 3 felt like fan service.
Yeah.
And I was on board for it because they gave everything the fans want. They even brought, when they brought back the doctor from season one, I think I got up out of my bed and I think I made, I was
you
like,
called me.
You, I called you. And I yes, said, you did. You watch it yet?
Yeah. You're like, there's a great cameo.
I'm like, this is a great cameo.
And I watched it and I was like, what's the cameo? I didn't even realize that he was a cameo.
You didn't realize?
No.
Oh my god. Because I was
just like, he's just a person. He was from that from he was from season one, so I didn't consider him a cameo. I was just like, oh, he just came back. He just came back to work.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I thought it was
great.
Interesting. I thought it was great.
Well, let's hear what some other people had to say. Oh, let me share my opinion too. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And by far, I think it was the best in the series. Like, I like three better than one and two. I really liked the stories that they chose to talk about. Mm-hmm. I liked how it was a little bit camp and a lot of bit and a lot of bit drama. The first case, the North Korean situation, mm-hmm. surprised me, and I liked that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I really liked the new cast that they brought in.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
First of all, you know what I love? No, or what I love about the new cast is, you know what? I understand his energy where he's kind of like, I'm supposed to be off duty right now. he doesn't give in to this new, and it's such, okay, because
he's like me and Christmas Cookie.
He's Generation Z, right?
Yeah.
And Generation Z is like, when I clock out, I clock out.
Yeah.
While in past generations, you just knew it was expected. You worked overtime when needed.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, I understand it. He's like, no, my shift is over. I'm going to go play some video games. I'm not supposed to be working.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be working. And now I've worked another 8 hours that I wasn't supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I just love his constant, like, battle with the nature of this place.
He was so grumpy, too.
So, but it was...
Maybe he was sleep deprived.
It was so fitting. No, but it was so fitting because he's kind of like, he just kept saying, I'm not supposed to be working. I'm not getting paid for this.
But like, he was the only person who was complaining.
Oh, the whole time. Because everyone else understands the nature of
this.
But
then he seemed more ridiculous.
He seemed more ridiculous.
But if you think about it, that's standard. Like, you should be done your shift. You should be
done. Everyone else is ridiculous. But because he's the only one that's sane in a ridiculous world,
yeah.
He looks ridiculous.
He looked absolutely ridiculous.
And as fans watching it, you're kind of like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, we're like, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
You're supposed to stay.
And
somebody's going to be coming in at any minute. There's going to be an accident on the highway.
Listen, someone jinxed everyone and said, there's no cases tonight. And then the phone rang. This is what happened here, okay?
Yeah. You should know.
I thought it was so great because when you actually think about it, me in that position, I'll be complaining too.
I would be complaining.
Everyone watching it would be complaining.
But in the series of the show,
you're like, upset with him because he's complaining.
You're absolutely upset because you're just like, don't you see there's cases?
Yeah, it's so funny.
That's what you're supposed to do at Dotem.
Like, we all gave into this world. Like, we're all like, this is our world. This is where we live in. You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's hear what some other people had to say. Do you have any comments?
Yeah. So I have a comment from Feve. Just finished the season three. How amazing to see Professor Cha Jingman's character, and really glad to see Dr. Kang Dongju back to Doldum with his new dream and ambition. Can't hardly wait for season four and hope Dr. Yu Seo-jung really makes the move to come back for Dr. Romantic. Hope there will be more drama about Dr. Kang Dongju and Dr. Yoon.
I agree about the season four.
Yeah, the ending where you just saw her and you saw the suitcase and the tag and you're like, please, make space. I just saw you on another drama. You have time. Come. Get whatever you got to do. Sign that contract. You guys have made enough to pay her what she deserves.
Get it done.
Bring her back.
Get it done.
Get it done.
I have a comment here from somebody by the name of Big Boss. As always, perfect. I will always miss this drama. This third season managed to fulfill all my wishes, and that's more than enough for me. But I would gladly accept a fourth season.
Everyone's dying for a fourth season.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one from a latte. Fantastic. 10 out of 10 drama, in my opinion. the one and only drama that made me tear a lot after watching so many different K-dramas. Super big fan of the show. And I'm really, really hoping there will be a season four. Almost all the comments were like, season four.
Right?
And I'm on board for it.
I'm on board for it as well.
The story is not completed yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a comment here from somebody by the name of Noomi. This is the best Korean medical drama. Watching Dr. Romantic from season one to season three, truly, it has never disappointed me. Dr. Romantic from screenplay, script, versatility of actors and actresses made me feel so excited every week. This medical drama made my heart leap, jump, and feel full of joy. Each actor, production crew, and everyone in the episode was made it super worth watching. Right now, I'm looking forward to the next episode rather than the next season. Please, let's have it fast. To all stars of this drama, I would like to continue to be with you and hope that you and support everybody along the way. Godspeed and good luck.
Okay, and then my last comment is from Pansy K-ton. Is it just me? I love this series. I rewatched season one and season two multiple times. Now that season three is finished, I don't think I have the energy to rewatch it. I love each one of the episodes of season three, but when I tried rewatching episode already, gave me the never mind feeling and stopped. So I guess the person's like, I need to wait a little bit before I watch season three again.
Yeah.
But after the whole season, 16 episodes, multiple hours of it, I feel like we haven't accomplished anything in this season. Okay, so this person has also wanted a season four.
Yeah.
But they consider the season three a part one, as they say in anime speak.
Okay, I have one more comment here from somebody that goes by the name of Nora Aldemai. Officially one of my favorite K-dramas out there. When a show has more than one or two seasons, it is highly possible for it to be less executed. But that is the opposite of what Dr. Romantic is. The more, the better. The show never failed in so many ways. It was extremely well executed. The acting is superb. The storyline is well written. And the character building, which was my favorite part, was realistic and perfect. I really hope that it will have more seasons, as there is a high potential to make it even more successful by adding all these three seasons characters in one.
Yes, I'm very excited for it.
Yeah.
So did you find out any interesting facts?
Well, yes. Okay, this was my own personal comment/interesting fact, which was it is not very common to see a K-drama have more than one or two installations. Typically, it's one. So the fact that it got to season three just boasts the popularity of the drama. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, like everybody else said, I want season four. I want to see more.
What I would say is it's becoming more and more common for the season twos to happen.
Yeah.
Season three, though,
no.
I've only known two shows that have season three. Actually, I'm sorry, three. Penthouse, Hospital Playlist, and Dr. Romantic. Those are the only ones I've known to have a season three. There's
All hugely popular. Yeah.
But I guess they're seeing that, you know, when it's really, really good, you don't have to stop the story.
We do it in North America all the time.
All the time. in my mind, I'm thinking that the writer of Dr. Romantic,
yeah,
from the beginning, always planned to have multiple seasons.
They
left it in a way that kind of made you wanting more. Like, they finished the story, but they still left some type of detail that it could continue. Hands down, I believe that person was wondering, why do I have to stop?
Yeah. And the thing that's really great about it, too, is because it's a medical drama, mm-hmm, there's always going to be different cases. So there leaves room for that. Like,
yes.
Grey's Anatomy, case in point. I don't know how many seasons
there are. I think there are 20.
A lot.
Well, like, those certain procedural shows can do that. Like, Cops, procedural shows.
Yeah.
Law and Order.
Yeah.
CSI.
Yeah.
What's another one?
Because each case is, like, a different story.
Yeah.
Right. So pretty cool.
So I actually focused on two smaller, I would say, supporting roles.
Ooh,
in my
really?
Like, research.
I'm excited.
Because I feel like we've talked about almost everyone else ad nauseum before.
Yeah.
So I tried to find new people to talk about. So the first person I'm going to talk about is our grumpy first year resident who just wants to work his hours.
Yeah.
So he played the Zheng Donghua character, Lee Sing-young. He is a model and actor. He rose to fame with the Korean television series Crash Landing on You. Do you remember him in that?
No.
Oh my gosh, you don't remember him?
No.
Okay, he was a role. He was one of the North Korean soldiers that came over and was like, "Hey, the people here are very strange. People kept randomly giving me business cards."
Oh, he was the one. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was him?
That was him.
Oh my gosh.
I also watched him like this, that kind of mini short drama, How to Buy a Friend, which he won the best actor in a one-act special short drama at KBS for.
Uh-huh.
And he was first became known for the web drama Just One Bite, but he said he didn't intend on becoming an actor in the beginning.
Wow.
He wanted to become a model from when he was young, but his height stopped him. Stopped at 180 centimeters, so which was not tall enough to become a model.
What's that? Is that like 5'8"?
Maybe it's 5'8", 5'9"? Okay. 5'8", 5'9", maybe?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, he goes, "My height stopped, so I couldn't." Though he dreamed of it, it's like, naturally, it just didn't fit. but then his teacher kind of suggested that he get into acting. So he chose his major as an acting at university.
Oh, that's cool.
And that he kind of wants to not be, play roles that are just all the same. He doesn't want to be built into, you know, a corner. What do you call that? Like a character actor.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's just playing the same roles over and over again. So he doesn't really want to kind of get set to a specific concept or standard to do a certain way or genre of acting. So he says that for me, a priority is to show the world who I am and show versatile sides of myself. He actually starred in this movie called Rebound, which is about a basketball player, basketball team. And he said that there were some problems that he just couldn't really solve in the short term in that he doesn't know how to play basketball.
Oh.
And you have to play a role of drama.
That's a big thing to overcome.
That's a big thing to
overcome.
That's
a lot of cutaways.
I'm wondering in the audition when he when he was there auditioning, they probably said, "Do you know how to play basketball?" Hands down, he probably said, "Oh yeah, of course."
Yeah.
Thinking that I can learn this easily. And no. Then he probably did not have the hand-eye coordination that needed.
Yeah.
So he struggled a lot during the filming.
That's
of
funny.
That.
So listen, that as an hilarious. Actor, you always say yes. When they say, "Can you do that?" Yes. And then you learn before
that,
you have to shoot it.
Is that a rule? Is that a rule?
Absolutely.
You
you're not
going
to say, "No, I don't know how to do that."
Does your teacher tell you that? Does your teacher say, never turn on a role if they show interest? Just learn whatever they ask you to learn.
They didn't actually say that, but it's something that I've learned. And it only bit me in the butt just once.
What was it? What was it again?
They said, "Can you do a South African accent?" Oh. I said, "Yes." They're like, "Do it now." And I was like, I think it was more Australian.
How can you? I think that's hard. I can't even tell. It's very
subtle.
Subtle.
Yeah, but you can tell. I knew that mine was not South African.
I know that you're probably, I know you can tell yours is bad.
Yeah.
But I cannot really, in my experience, I can't tell. I'm bad with accents anyways.
Yeah.
Like, my British sounds Australian.
Your British
which
sounds...
Which I stopped trying
to do. It doesn't
even
sound Australian. I don't know what it sounds like. It sounds interesting.
I only can mimic right away. Like, you say that... If I hear the word, I can copy it. Other than that, like, from my mind, absolutely not. I have no clue. Did you find out anything?
Yes. I found out some interesting facts about, you know, Dr. Romantic, who's played by Hans Suk-kyu. And he studied at Dongguk University, and he was a student in the theater and film department. And in school, he actually made his own short film called Finding the Rainbow. He saved up $2,000 of his own money, wrote it, directed it, filmed it, everything. And he was really proud of his achievement. And he used to be a voice actor, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's not still doing voice acting at
all? He probably is, but yeah, I didn't know.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Because apparently he, in school, he was in the choir, so he sings as well. And he developed a clear, clean voice, which made him ideal for doing voiceovers.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
He does have a distinct voice.
He does. I always know it's him. Even if I don't have my eyes
open. Yeah, if your eyes don't open, you just go, oh!
Yeah.
That's Dr. Romantic.
Yeah.
Easily can tell.
I have one more fun fact about him.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated about his character is that he believes that movies should compete for quality and not publicity. So he believes in good work as opposed to just like pumping out, yeah, making it popular, but it's not good.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to do.
That is hard to do, but that's a true thespian.
He's an artiste.
He's an artiste.
But yeah, that's very hard to do. Some things are just popular and bad.
Yeah, like, they are popular.
Like the Fast series. The Fast and Furious series. Come on.
Those are horrible. True. Yeah. But you still watch them.
It has really cool cars. Yeah. They go really fast. And they always do something crazy. And they keep trying to one-up themselves.
Yeah.
The last one, they went to space. What? How is a car in space? I don't know. I can't even tell you.
I'm not even going there. I didn't watch it, but I don't even want to know.
Can't even get into it. But they keep one-upping things. So I can support that. But there's sometimes you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
So, but if it's like competing for awards, most of the time it is about
the quality. Art.
It's about
and
the
quality.
Art. It's just public opinion is all about popularity.
Yep.
So I don't think he'll ever achieve it, what he wants.
Well.
Unless he's just talking about award series.
Maybe. I don't know.
But a lot of times, it can be bad.
Well, he's just talking about his personal belief.
Fans will go to
and that he believes that it's better to have a good piece of work as opposed to a popular piece of work.
That's true.
It's great if it's both.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But then it gets into a fact of what one considers good. Because maybe someone has an opinion about Dr. Romantic. They don't think it's good, but it's popular.
Yes.
So that gets really sticky.
It does. It does get sticky. Yeah.
Because he's thriving off of popularity, so it's easy to say that.
He is thriving off of popularity.
It's easy to say that when you're thriving off of popularity.
True. True.
I love you, Dr. Romantic. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to give you the other side of this. Of this coin. I actually got some information, again, side character.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you a story about this, though. Okay, so I did it on the character Lee Sung-wong, and he's played by Lee Hong-nae.
Yeah.
And I was watching Dr. Romantic 3, and I kept looking at his character. He's wearing glasses in the beginning. He had hair. And I'm looking at him, and I just kept thinking, he feels familiar to me, but I can't put my finger on it. I'm watching.
Is he the one with the bones?
Pardon me?
Sorry, is he the one with the skeleton?
No, he's the one that came. He's color. The one who has color. He's colorblind.
Okay, yes.
I'm watching this drama.
Is he in DP?
No.
Okay, carry on. You want me to guess some
other people? I'm watching this drop. Oh, yeah, I would love.
No. Go on.
I was waiting. I was like, what's next? I don't think you've seen the drama that I know him from.
Okay.
But I'm watching it. I promise. I feel I've watched about 10 episodes. And I think it only dawned on me. And I one of the episodes where he did a look. And he looked serious or upset. And I was like, oh my gosh. This can't be him. Huh?
Serial killer?
His role, what he played, was like a demon. Someone who was possessed by a demon.
I certainly didn't watch it.
No, you didn't. It's on Netflix. It's called The Uncanny Counter.
Actually, I did watch The Uncanny
Did you watch Uncanny Counter?
Not all of it, though. A bit of it.
Okay, he was like...
It got too spooky.
He was like the main one who kept getting... He was in a bad situation, then he got possessed by an evil spirit, and it just kept getting worse. And he was the bald one.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
Okay, which is what threw me off, because he had hair. It's like, who's this? I couldn't see it because he wasn't bald.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first two shows I watched him and he cut off all his hair. He was bald. I don't know if he just
bald
came out
or
of the
like
army.
Shaved.
Shaved. Like he shaved his hair.
Okay.
But he was like, he shaved it bald. Like, where is he? Shaved it bald.
Low.
So very, very low. Almost like I couldn't see hair. Oh. Like you see outline of hair growing. That's how low he had it.
Oh.
I could be. Yeah. No. Yes. That's how low he had it. It was like fully no hair. And I, I had to look it up to say, is this correct? Is this the guy? I swear I'm staring for 10 episodes. And because he was playing such a role so opposite than what I was introduced to him,
yeah,
it also didn't...
I
could not piece it together. I had to watch 10 episodes. I think it was a scene where he was getting accused, I think, of putting something because of his, he knew the guy who died for that one doctor. And he made a face. And he just had a face. And I was like, oh, my God. It reminded me of when I discovered Idris Elba was the evil person in Star Trek because he had all these costumes. And his character in the costume made a shape with his mouth. And I realized it was him because I heard he was going to be in the movie, but I couldn't see him. And
like,
I was
like, where is he?
Where is he?
I don't see him
anymore. Oh, they covered his beautiful face. but that's why I wanted to do the look up on this actor, because I thought he's fairly new on the scene. I thought that was kind of amazing that you were a chameleon, whereas I couldn't even recognize you, and I watched you in two shows before this.
Wow.
But yeah, so he actually moved to Seoul when he was 19 years old. And he ventured into modeling at 20. So this is a funny thing that connects to the other actor I mentioned. But due to his lack of height, he decided he just a few stints in fashion show and mainly kind of worked for magazines.
Yeah, so he pivoted. That's the way to go.
You
can do print.
Yes. So he left from 19. So he's a go-getter, right? Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's not going to stop me. I'll just find another avenue to do my modeling.
Yeah.
So that was kind of impressive. And he made his acting debut in a movie called Fire in Hell. For all I know, he was probably playing the demon there, too, because he did a good job.
Wow.
So in 2014, to support himself, he pursued his career as an actor. He worked part-time jobs in construction and cosmetology.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's a hard worker.
That's interesting. Yeah, he's a grafter.
Yes. And I already told you about my experience with Uncanny Counter. But it's very interesting that for his role in Uncanny Counter, where he played that villain character, he won his first acting accolade and received a Scene Stealer Award at the Brand Customer Loyalty Awards in 2021.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then after playing a kind of a minor supporting role in various films and TV series for 7 years, he landed his first main role in an independent movie made on the rooftop. For his performance, he was named Best New Actor at the Korean Association of Film Critics Award. And then he also was named Best New Actor at the Baeksang Arts Award for his movie and his role in Hot Blooded.
That's a big award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed when I looked him up after, and, you know, I didn't even notice who he was.
I thought in Dr. Romantic, he did a really great job of playing subtleties.
Yes.
Because if you're saying he's used to playing a demon and different things, you know, or a bad character, this one, he was not like that at all. So it was nice to see that.
It was very different. So I'm glad that he, like the other actor, didn't want to get pigeonholed into a type of role, and He successfully achieved that because you played two separate characters and did them both well. So I'm looking forward to his future.
Bravo, bravo.
Now, I don't know if that was a wig now or if he actually is bald.
Maybe it was a bald cap.
He doesn't need a bald cap, right? Because he's bald already.
He just shaved his head. Maybe he had just came from the army or something.
Maybe. I can't remember. I don't know when he served.
Okay. It would make sense.
Or he just shaves his head. Sometimes people just like to shave their head every so
often. For a role, for a look?
Yeah, or like, say, before they dyed their hair, and they're like, I'm going to start over. That happens sometimes.
Okay.
Or maybe he just likes the look of his head. It was a great shaped head.
Okay.
You know, so I'm not there's sometimes I wonder, I'm like, are there bumps? Like, I know I've hit my head a few times. Like, how does my head actually look? Is it like,
oh gosh, or bumped? I have a side story about that.
What's your side story?
The side story was I decided to, as he's in cosmetology, let me try to relate it back to what your comment said. Or he was at some point. So I decided I was going to cut my own hair, and I was doing pretty good. And then I said, oh, let me get the shavers, the clippers out and just clean up the back. Never had done that before. Took out my son's clippers, and I went, and then there was like a hole, like a bald
circle. Oh, no!
That I cut into the back of my hair and I couldn't fix it. I was too embarrassed to call my nephew, who's actually good at cutting hair, because I knew he would laugh at me. So I went to locally to a store. And when I went there and sat in her chair, she was asking me if I had any medical conditions. I was like, listen, lady, I do not have alopecia. I made a mistake with the clippers. And can you just try and fix it? So they ended up having to pretty much bald the back part of my hair. And then I had to wait for it to grow in.
Gosh. First of all, I love the, the genuine asking of, do you have any medical conditions?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad. Oh, gosh, it was bad.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's so funny.
Yeah. Could you imagine if I had...
She genuinely was just wondering if he had... It was no shade attached
to
it.
No, it was no just, shade. It was just like looking through my hair. The way she was touching it, too, was just kind of suspect. And I was like, look, lady, this is what happened. I was too embarrassed to go to Keenan because I knew he would laugh at me.
Oh, my gosh. You would have lived it down.
I know. That's why I didn't go.
Hey, in our family, if something happens, if you do something once... You're that person for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I didn't want. I couldn't.
And every time you reminisce, you'll remember that time when your hand you bald off your head. it would just be brought up randomly every gathering, at least once or twice a year.
Yeah. Oh, let me get it back. Let me relate it back to what we were talking about: the shape of my head. I then realized I should not go bald because the shape of my head was not good. And I couldn't wait for it to grow back in. Oh, I thought I had a cute shaped head until I got rid of some of the hair. And I said, oh, it's not that cute. Yeah,
every time you have to feel around, but you're like, how would this look without the hair on
it? I have two lumps on the sides. I don't think my head got smooth properly when I was a baby. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but that's an aside.
But he has a great shaped head. So
yeah.
His parents did a good job of making sure he rotated his head as he slept or something.
Right? Rounded that off when he was bathing.
Probably gave him the baby helmet that they give babies now to help them shape their head.
Do they have that?
You never?
I've never seen that before.
Oh, absolutely. They have that. It's to help them round out their head. It's
I wish I had a baby helmet in the 70s.
Someone who grew up and said, you know what? I discovered my head shape wasn't good. I'm not making my child go through that. So we're going to round this out.
Yeah.
Making sure it's all even.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's really great. Okay, so I have some fun facts about An Hyo Seop, who plays...
Seo-Woo-Jin?
Yes. The doctor who we all love to fall in love with from season two.
I didn't fall in love with him.
You didn't like him? I liked his character. Anyways.
He did a great job in his role, but his character... There's some stuff that happened to him that I was like, this wasn't needed. Like, Dr. Romecta gave you orders and you didn't follow them.
I know, but I liked his character and I liked him even more in this one.
Yes, in this one he was a lot better.
Personal development or, you know.
I liked it, but I just, some decisions he made, and you know what? A bit of it was like kind of Dr. Romantic's fault of how he...
He shaped him and molded him to be like him, or he wanted to be like Dr. Romantic. Like
every doctor in there was kind of like Dr. Romantic.
Which is like, which means which you have to be hard. A crazy person.
Yeah. He made everyone crazy.
Yeah.
And then when he started to try and say, you should be reasonable, they said,
then what
that's
are you
not
talking
what you
about?
Would do.
Like, exactly. Exactly.
He created a monster he couldn't control
he
anymore.
He created many monsters.
He created monsters he could not control anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But one thing I did not know about him is that he has Canadian citizenship.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that. I was shocked.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what? No, first they said he was a Canadian. And then I looked it up. I was like, no. He's born in South Korea, but moved to Canada when he was...
Oh, I thought he was Canadian.
No, he was born
in
Korea.
He moved when he was a kid. Okay.
Moved to Canada, Toronto, even.
Oh, I thought it was
when he
BC.
Was seven.
Seven.
And then went to school here, then went back to Korea. So I was just like, I did not know that.
Yeah, so you watched him in Business Proposal, right?
Did not know that either. But yeah...
You didn't know he was in Business Proposal?
No. I think I have a fact about it, though. But I was surprised. I didn't connect the two people together.
But there's a scene in there in Business Proposal where he's doing, like, traveling around the world. And he just starts speaking. He just starts having a full conversation in English.
Oh.
And you can tell that he's English is a language he's very comfortable with.
I don't even remember that. Don't remember that. Don't remember that. But I didn't know he was also a singer.
Yes, he's in a... I don't know what this group does. I don't know their name.
Yeah, he was in like a K-pop group or whatever.
What's the group called?
I don't have that note.
I have never seen this group.
It was probably a short-lived group.
But I heard about this.
Yeah. And yeah, which I didn't know. I didn't know that he had some musical abilities as well. Because I, you know, sometimes when they're idol stars, you just like, oh, that's an idol star. Even when I don't even know who
there's
they
a
are.
There's a prejudice. There's a presence. Yeah, because they look away and there's also prejudice on like what type of, what you're going to expect in the acting, yes. Right?
Yes, like a drama I just happened upon the other day, but we won't get into that, which I'm going to stop watching.
Oh, and, I definitely want to know what it is because I feel like I'm going to want to continue watching it. I feel like it's on my to-be-watched list.
No, it won't. This will not be on your list to be watched. I watched 5 minutes. I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. But one of the people in it looks familiar to me. I think he might have been in this drama.
I definitely think I know what you're talking about. It's about grocery stores.
Yes!
I was avoiding it, and I just saw... someone else, I just saw some type of ad for it. I'm like, maybe I should check it out. You know how sometimes in marketing, where if you see things multiple times,
or if you
times,
see it on like one of them you know, variety eventually shows, you just want to check it about out. Yeah. The drama or whatever. But I said, I'm not subscribing to this right here, right now.
I think I'm going to watch for 2 seconds because they are, it has basically it's like five attractive boys, guys inside.
Lots
of it,
right? cute young boys. But I couldn't. After 5 minutes, I said, no, I'm not doing this.
So
I'm
I think that's what drawn. It's probably because it is a highly rated, but I feel like all the fans are being drawn.
I don't feel like I haven't watched it, but I know it's just because they're cutie patooties.
You're all cutes, and then that's what patooties. Your fans are like. Ooh, I want to watch this.
Yeah,
just because I get to see their face. I don't care if their words and their acting is horrible.
Right,
I see their face. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So that was my fun fact. It was fun for me because I really had no idea that he. And Toronto, no less, where we're from, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought that was cool.
That is kind of cool. Oh, my gosh. I had something about him, and I totally forgot about it.
Oh, okay.
It's not important. Oh, okay. Yes. What I love about him, too, his ability to cry so easily. That's a skill.
Ah.
Have you seen how he can do tears very easily and very well?
Oh, yeah? No, mm-hmm. I haven't noticed.
Oh. I watched him in a different drama. Didn't you watch it? The time travel one? Recently?
Which time travel? Oh, God.
It was
you know how I feel about time travel.
I know. And I got tricked into one. I didn't know what it was about. And then I realized it was time travel.
Okay.
I'm lying. I think I did know it was time travel. But I will say how they did the time travel looping was really good.
Okay.
We might talk about it.
What was it called?
I blanked on what it's called. Okay, it was a Netflix one. So... Basically, I did watch 8 episodes and it went out my head. And then I think I watched the glory after.
Okay.
I thought it was how they did the looping of the time travel made a lot of sense.
That's the thing with time travel. It's the finding the loophole.
You have to, you cannot write a time travel drama as you go. You have to plan it out all the way. So that anything that changes or references in your changes has to be reflected in
and
the first
And you certainly part of it. Shouldn't write it with more than one writer.
Oh, God. That's a mistake.
Because, you know,
need one mind.
Sometimes dramas will have more than one writer. Mm-hmm. But if you're not all sitting in the same room and doing the same thing at the same time,
Well, you know what? You can possibly write it with more than one drama, but the one person has to do the whole mapping.
Okay.
If it's not all mapped by one person, it's a mess.
Yeah.
But everyone has to map how the stories connect.
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing I'll ask you about this Dr. Romantic 3.
Okay.
We already talked about Dr. Romantic 1 and 2. What was your favorite case that they had to deal with?
Oh. I have two. I don't know if it's a case, but I have two of my favorite scenes.
Okay.
Okay, my favorite case would be the North Korean one, because it surprised me and it shocked me, mm-hmm. where they had to deal with these North Korean spies who were trying to not spies, the North
spies.
Korean people. They were trying
they were escaping
to
North
escaping
Korea.
North Korea. Yeah. They got infiltrated by South Korean ship. What do they call those?
No. It was It was a famous North Korean doctor who was escaping North Korea with his family. Uh-huh. And they sent someone after them to attack and kill them. And what happens is they were... You didn't realize...
No?
Yeah, so that's why they were... Yes!
I had no idea. I thought they were just stowaways on a ship.
No, no. They were trying to leave. They were trying to leave.
But I didn't know they were one, like they were a famous family or something. Maybe I didn't read that.
It wasn't like a
that.
Famous family, but the one the father was a renowned doctor or some sort.
Maybe they, I didn't read that.
They were
that.
Looking for him is basically what happened.
I certainly didn't read that.
The people who attacked the boat were looking for him.
I certainly didn't read that at all.
So they were looking for
Thank
him.
Thank you for drawing context to what was actually happening.
Welcome. That wasn't clear in the beginning, though. That only made clear versus when a conversation happened with Dr. Romantic and I think the political head that was supposed to be meeting with North Korea. Because that was the whole contention, was that South Korea and North Korea were meeting up at like a summit to discuss. But then North Korea never wanted to didn't want to show up because they knew that someone escaped and they wanted South Korea to turn them back.
Yes.
So they were on the boat. Someone was hunting them down, basically, or had a mission to kind of get him or kill him, I think it was. Either kill him or bring him back.
Yeah.
Something happened. They were all trapped on this. And then what happened is they were in South Korean waters. And then that's when the ship found them and took them on board. And they realized that one of them was injured. And they realized that they couldn't save that person. So they called in the Doldum Hospital to come and help.
Well... My favorite scene, I didn't even understand. I like the drama of it.
Of course.
I like the drama of it.
It was dramatic. It was dramatic.
I really liked it. But then my favorite, I don't know, storyline is at the end when after, again, drama. After they took so long to build this trauma center, mm-hmm. a forest fire was coming headed towards the hospital to potentially burn it down. I said, that is just crosses.
That was horrible.
I was just like, oh, no.
I was watching, going, they're not doing this.
No.
They're not doing this.
I'm like, oh, no. But I said, even if they did, that means more seasons because I got to build it back. But I was shocked that they even had I was not expecting that.
That they could have been. I had a feeling. So even as that storyline started, I was like, there's no way. I just kept watching going, there's absolutely no way you guys are burning down this hospital. I said, no.
I put my foot down.
I saw the storyline starting. I was like, something's going to happen. This is ridiculous.
If they wanted to end it, it would have been a good way to end it.
Would it be?
Yes,
because that would be disservicing the fans. Like, no fan wants to see that place burn down.
No, you don't want to see it burn down. But if they ended it like that, then you could see, like, them saying, we got to start again and see who would still be on board. Or
I have a question for you. How did you feel about the pacing?
I kind of took it as an episode by episode. Mm. Like, this other ones, I didn't see it when it was airing, so I was able to binge them. But this one I watched week by week, and it was on, I think, Disney, I think.
Yes.
I watched it on.
For us, it was on Disney.
And so I was able to watch it episode by episode, and I took it case by case. I kind of liked the pacing of it, because each episode to me, or episode and a half, was like a case.
You know what? Okay, so I feel kind of like one of my comments that I said where it's like, season three is kind of like a season three part one. It felt they wrapped up the first section with the doctor.
Too quickly.
First of all, too quickly, because I really enjoyed his character. But I felt like the arc was fine. But then when they brought in the second doctor to replace him, the cameo from episode one, like, you know, the callback, bring back the character from season one, it felt like they started rushing towards the end. And then I wasn't sure, based on the pacing, are you going to come to an end? Are you going to have, like, a good ending with this timing? Because he came in so late. Like, they kept him, they ended the first story with the older gentleman, his, like, arch nemesis in school, early. But then when they brought him in, it felt too late to bring him in.
Yeah.
And have the story completed. Because he didn't come in at episode 8. He came in, like, at episode, like, 10, I think. It was, like, very late. I think there was max 4 episodes where he could actually tell the story properly, I think.
Wow.
So it was, I felt, when they brought him in like that, I kind of had in my head, they need a season four. Because, like, he wasn't even able to fully accomplish what he did. Like, there was a turmoil in the staffing. And I just felt, I wish I saw that play out more.
Okay, can we put a side note to get back to the strike?
Okay. We got to put a side note to get back to all the turmoil in the cast.
Okay.
Absolutely, it's interesting. We definitely have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how I felt with the pacing. So my favorite storyline as well, I think I had two. I like the storyline of the collapsed building where people were trapped. I thought, though I was very upset with him defying Dr.
That was
Romantic,
good filming, too.
It was greatly, the filming was great. Mm-hmm. I loved the conflict between, like, teacher and student. And basically, when the teacher's realizing that the student is basically doing what he was doing in that situation.
Yeah.
And him not wanting him to do that. Yeah. And Dr. Romantic kind of realizing that sometimes his, and that was a whole big thing that I felt with the two conflicting leaders or teachers, where they had different mindsets, they had different kind of goals, and I feel like they balance each other very well in what they focus on, whereas this guy was really about protecting his employees and their rights and making sure that they're protected when people, because he's had bad situations where people are always suing him, malpractice suits and something, but also with Dr. Romantic saying, I focus on the patient and trying to save the patient first.
Yeah.
And I felt that there's moments where I agreed with one, and then
not the other.
And then there's other moments where I'm like, I see your point now too, Dr. Master. So I felt that they balance each other well.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. So, and I felt that that case was like amalgamation
of both.
Of both having, or Dr. Master realizing that his way is not necessarily 100% accurate and correct.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other case I liked was when the doctor, who is it? The one who was going to review the hospital and put them on, the government employee, the lady.
Oh.
And this is why I like both of them, because she was included in both of them. So yeah. I liked with her son. That was tough. But whereas in, I appreciated that the one doctor, I gotta stop saying doctor. I gotta get his name. Dr. Romantic, and then what's the doctor we call him? Jin Man, her father. I like that he supported and backed his employee.
Yeah.
But it was to a point where it was really harsh. Whereas Dr.
Romantic
could have...
He was really harsh on the lady really who just harsh. Lost her son.
Yes. I'm like, you in that moment had no sympathy for her son. And you were kind of like, your son did this. We did everything. We followed protocol. But the way he relayed that information was so it was too tough. Like, yeah. She's just reeling from losing her son.
Yeah.
You cannot talk sense in this moment.
Yeah.
And if she has to lash out, you let her lash out.
Sense, but with a softer voice.
Yes, but if she has to lash out, you have to let her lash out.
Yeah. He was more about, I'm protecting my doctor.
Exactly.
At my surgeons at all costs.
Yes. So I appreciated that he was like a boss who protected his employees. I just thought how he handled that situation was so needed.
It was
more
wrong.
Finesse.
It was wrong.
It was wrong. It needed more. I call it
needed more finesse. It was plain wrong.
And I think Dr. Romantic would have handled that a lot better.
Yeah, but he was down there. He was down there and known him fixing broken legs.
Yeah, you know
legs.
What he needed to do? He needed to be voicing all those opinions in the back room.
Why?
Okay.
Why
Dr. Romantic comes out and makes the situation a little bit better?
Why do you think Dr. Romantic chose to stay in Dotem instead of the big fancy new hospital?
That's a good question. I have.
Don't you think he would have been a prime candidate to be in the big fancy?
You know what? Know what it felt like? It just felt. I feel like this is, I think there's two reasons why I think he didn't want to do it. Okay. One is his own health.
Yeah.
To do it. Also, I don't think he wanted the trauma center because it was needed in that area.
Yeah.
Because there are so many trauma cases. So I think for his two reasons he probably didn't do it was, one, his health. And two, maybe that he thought that a new mind needed to come in. Maybe he was realizing that his way is not the way that needs to be. The mind that's needed for a trauma center.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking that, yeah, I got all this covered, and yes, I have the ability, but all the admin and all the things that you need to do.
And the politics.
And the politics. hates involved politics. In that is it's not sexy. It's not romantic.
It's not romantic. The trauma center is not romantic. It's systematic.
It's systematic.
And I think that's
and DOTM is romantic.
Yeah, emergency cases is romantic.
Yeah.
Trauma cases are more systematic.
Yeah. Because they were doing it based on a system. If they don't have, like, if they're not really severe, you have to send them there. You have to,
Yes.
Which was interesting. Okay. The strike. Can we get to the strike?
Are we going to get to the strike?
Okay.
Should we start with the first conflict before we get to the
okay,
strike?
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. What was the first conflict for you?
To me, the conflict was just the two heads.
Oh, okay.
Jin Man,
yeah.
Cha Jin Man, professor.
I loved him coming in the second
it was,
doctor.
It was
what was his
it
name?
It was great. Cha Jin Man. So Professor Cha, we'll call him Professor Cha. First of all, the revelation that it was her dad.
Oh,
amazing!
It made so much sense.
It made all the
sense of how she started off.
Yes,
why she was so stressed about. Remember, she used to throw up every time she had to do a surgery and stuff, and she had to take pills and all kinds of things. And and it makes 100% sense knowing that that man was her father and her mentor, and he was the one watching over her.
Yeah.
Like, she felt like she wasn't allowed to make a mistake, and she wasn't allowed to fail.
She was built on, like, this perfectionist nature, right?
Yeah. And he was a genius, just like Dr. Kim.
Yes, that's a lot of pressure having a parent who's genius. So well-renowned, who could do a lot of... Who's such a great doctor.
Yeah.
To follow in the footsteps. You feel like you keep trying to match that.
Yeah.
And I guess when she were at the hospital where she was before, everyone would have known that.
It's like Bach and Mozart. Who do you root for? They're both geniuses. They're both amazing.
Mm-hmm. And... The scene where she literally just appears, this is after he's, like, walked around the whole hospital. Hasn't even encountered his daughter once in his little stroll around the hospital. And he shows up, and then Dr. Kim, and you hear about their backstory. Dr. Kim goes and stretches his hand out. He walks past Dr. Kim to the third-year resident?
Dr. Sojin?
No, he walks to his daughter, but he's, like, she's, like, a third-year resident.
Yeah.
And this goes, oh, it's nice to see you here. And she's kind of like, Dad? And everyone's eyes go, wait, what? Because, like, as every character was kind of like, what? I was in my room watching it going, oh, my gosh. It was such a great way to bring, because it made sense, because you never saw her father character.
No.
The mom just referenced this father over and over again, and the brother over and over again, but you never, I think you saw her brother once, but you never saw her father.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
And she, even in the season two, she kept saying, what does Dad think about my decision?
Yeah.
When she had that conflict with the brother and what he did and what she asked him to do. And it was so good. I thought it was great. And then, so he's coming in, you know, people don't respect his way of doing things. Actually, people have, like, a wall up on him. And that's another reason why I wasn't fully on board with Seo Woo Jin's character, like, his attitude.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, it felt like, and I get it, as I'm watching, as an audience member, I love Dr. Kim, I love Dr. Romantic.
Yeah.
But it felt like you were pigeonholing yourself, and he didn't want you to do that. Whereas in everything he did was right. It's like a worship mentality a bit.
Yeah.
He put him on a high pedestal.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kim, I felt, that didn't want him to do that ever. But he naturally did it because he saved him. He was in such a dire situation in season two. You gave him that loan to get people off of his back.
Yeah.
You owe him, like, his freedom and him feeling free again and being able to just work.
Yeah.
And I can understand.
Plus, he taught him a lot.
He was like a father figure.
Medically,
to a
but also socially, and like mentored him as a man and as a doctor and as a person, and how to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
And don't be an idiot. And, you know, so many things he taught him.
And he
didn't have a dad.
Hmm?
He didn't have a dad that
he did.
He had a dad? Oh.
His parents.
They left him in debt.
Pardon me?
Is it his parents who made him in debt, right?
Yes, but this is what happened. His parents tried to do, I can't remember what it's called. It's not just suicide, but when you try and kill your whole family. His parents tried to, he's the only one who survived it, though.
Oh.
They all, he did, the parent, the father, I guess, and the mother were just like, that did the charcoal thing, closed all the door, and was trying to kill, everyone was trying to die. He's the only one who survived it.
And then they left him with the debt.
And basically he was left with the debt that they had, which is, I hate that this is a rule or allowance that you can transfer debt to from random family member.
That is so...
I can't stand that.
Stupid. What does that have to do with
if
me?
If that happens here, that's ridiculous.
I have to move country.
If you move country, they still find you or something. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
But I understood his attachment and, you know, his connection with Dr. Kim. And it was like immediately he saw... If Dr. Kim made a face and this didn't like the person, immediately he's like, I don't like him either. That's kind of what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
Like his loyalty was more so worship. And it was a
true mentorship relationship.
Yes. And I feel like Dr. Kim even gave him the allowance. I want you to go there. I want you to learn. I don't want you here. Like even when he refused to go.
Yeah.
He was like, we're shutting him out. Don't call him for anything.
Yeah, because I guess he saw his potential.
He has great potential.
And he wanted him to learn under somebody else.
Yes.
To learn more.
To learn more. Like,
and learn differently, perhaps.
Yes. So there was a bit of...
Tough love. It was tough love. Where the eagles just drop their babies out and say, fly. Just hope you get it.
Yeah, so... It felt like that. It was something that he needed. Like, he needed, like, I know that, so first, and he had a, and what's interesting, because when we first saw him in season two, he had a mentor that let him down, right?
Yeah.
So now that he has this mentor he trusts, he doesn't ever want to turn his back on this mentor. And in his previous mentor, he was perceived as being a turncoat, I guess, that he turned on his own mentor. And he wasn't loyal. So now...
He made it seem like that, but he was just basically saying, yo, you crazy.
Like, the doctor did something wrong, and he was just like, you gotta own up to it.
And he didn't want to open up.
He didn't want to own up, so he just was a whistleblower and said, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And that can be perceived as being disloyal.
Yeah, for some people. Then you try to marry into the family of the people you blew the whistle on.
It wasn't that one.
Oh, was it? It was a different case?
It was the doctor, not the one that kept coming to the trial, was poaching... Tried to poach doctors in season two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was his mentor. He ran a private hospital and he was doing shady business.
Okay, so he
blew the whistle on him. But then when he went back to work, everyone just kind of turned against him because of that background. When really he didn't do anything wrong. All he did was point out that he was doing something that could have hurt people.
I thought that case had something to do with his girlfriend's brother, which is why they didn't like
him. No, that case just came up when he came to Doldum.
Oh, okay.
He was doing a case and he realized that something happened in her last surgery and the doctor didn't tell her about it.
Yeah.
So he solved it, but then he basically reported it.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
Again, a whistleblower.
Again. So he has this perception or background of being disloyal. So it was very interesting that this season he was like double down on loyalty.
Disloyal to doctors, but loyal to medicine.
Yes. But then I guess with a doctor who's so trustworthy with that.
Yeah.
He just is like, I'm going 100% into, 200% into my loyalty to Dr. Kim.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kim didn't want him to kind of do that because he felt like many of the doctors who left, he wanted them to leave and experience it. I need you to come back better than when you were here.
Well, he had a grand plan.
Yes.
This huge trauma center. Go learn, be better.
Yes, and come back.
And come back. But the thing that I love is that they never told the viewer about it. I was just like, this man is crazy. From season one, I was just
they told the viewer.
I didn't understand what he was on about. No, I didn't understand. Maybe you understood. I didn't understand what was going on until season three and they panned from Dotem to see the big trauma hospital. I was like, is that what he's been on about for three seasons?
We talked about, you didn't pay attention?
No, but it didn't click and dawn on me until I saw the building erected that this is what all of that was for.
This was his dream.
This was his dream. They said it in season two. They did.
And they said it in season three where it's like, even when he brought, so this is my favorite part is like, so season two, they bring in the new doctor, comes in and he's very more a straight-laced type of doctor. And he goes, I need you to be on here because you handle politics and I'm not handling politics.
Yeah.
And he felt like he was being deposed and he was brought in to try and push Dr. Kim out. And then he got warped in or drawn into his own world. It's like, you go there, you try and take him down and then you just see the light and then you drink his medicine and you're like, Dr. Kim is correct. I love that, that as someone who came as the audience was perceived as the enemy, joined the team.
Yeah, he always seems to turn people around to his philosophy. Yes. Not everybody, but enough to them to say, okay, I get what you're trying to do. And they always come in from the big hospital with their lab coats and like, we're going to take over. And then they realize, yo, what's happening here is unusual, different. Mm-hmm. This is all you have to work with. And you're doing the most with just this short staff, these little in this little country town where nobody lives. Like, it doesn't make sense on paper. Uh-huh. And but then when you see the work that they do, you're just like, I want to learn. I want to get on board somehow.
Yes, and you know what it also feels like? Because like you said, get on board. Mm-hmm. His talent his talent is so extraordinary.
Yeah.
He's three certified in three different different fields of medicine.
Yeah.
And, or triple board certified, that's what they call it. And you as a doctor coming in, I guess this is their mindset because they have a different mindset than him. They don't understand him because they're like, why are you here? You can go somewhere else and you can make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it's not about the money for him. That's what they just disconnect. So then they start going, it must be your ego. And then they meet him. They're like, he hardly even has an ego about it. Like I'm just trying to save patients.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it's their own insecurities, their own perceptive of what they want. They keep trying to push on him where he doesn't have those opinions or has those thoughts. And they're confused about it. You're so talented. You could do this. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
You could be this. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
It must be this. But no, you don't have this at all. It just draws them. I think it makes them mad, which is why they always have those like arguments. And he calmly said, he's also very condescending, which I love. I love when he does his condescending hand pats on the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's great. So it doesn't. So that's why that's why I love the conflict between the two heads or all the heads meeting up.
Yeah.
It was fun to see their points of view and where it's coming from based on past cases. Like you can see the Dr. Jin Man or Dr. Cha or Professor Cha.
Yeah.
You know that his past was due to he's having malpractice suits left, right, and center. One of the suits that's against him, he was just the face of, like, all he did was see the report and saw the report based on stats and said his opinion.
Yeah.
And then he became the person that was the evil person.
Yeah.
Because he's put his name to this document for this company. But from what he saw on the paper, it looked correct. So then now he's being sued. He was, then something that he perceived as thought he was just being tough, giving tough love to someone. That person commits suicide.
Yeah.
Based off of something he has said, and he's perceived in a way that he never intended. So therefore he just feels like he just keeps being attacked. So then he puts up all those defenses.
Yeah.
So when he speaks and he has his points of view, you can see where the hurt's coming from.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Romantic side is like, romantic side is like, again, he's now approached with someone else who thinks it's about ego for him and why are you here? And what's going on here? And it is so fascinating when you see the heads like that meet.
Yeah.
But then through the season, you can see that this new man who's coming in, Doc Professor, has a point. Like, you are not protecting sometimes your doctors and you're putting them in dangerous situations. So then when that second scene happened where he tells the doctor, your safety is important. Don't put yourself in this in dangerous situation. And the doctor just goes ahead and do it. It's kind of like, Dr. Kim, he was right.
Yeah.
They're doing what you would do, but you built up this system where that's what they think is expected. And because they respect you, revere you so much, they're willing to do that when they shouldn't have to do that.
They should not, that they shouldn't have to. They shouldn't ever do it, period.
They shouldn't do it, period.
It makes no sense.
And it's just, I just found it fascinating. So I love their dynamic. And I was very upset when he left. I wanted him just to take a step back, maybe. Or I wanted him to kind of learn, kind of like how the other doctor who's now the head of the two hospitals, how he was able to learn and adapt to Dr. Kim's way. And how it looked like many of his movements he was doing without Dr. Kim. But in the back of the you see him and you see, no, Dr. Kim was there for all those decisions. And he consulted him. And I just thought it was great. I love the season. I also love their meetups on the top of the stairs. It was like theater to me, where they're up there and they're screaming at each other. And everyone, when you show the whole room, the nurse is just working. Like,
like nothing's going on. Like
nothing's happening. This is not soundproof. It's wide open.
And they're shouting. And they're like
shouting.
Not even like 20 meters away from each other.
No. I loved it because it looked like the upstairs of a theater.
It does look like a theater. It could be a stage play. Dr. Yes. Romantic, the way that it is.
So I love that they added that element back from season one.
I love that. That was
okay,
super,
so let's
super
talk
great.
About, that's the first conflict I felt, and I enjoyed that story and that arc. So now let's talk about the second arc with the strike.
The strike. Okay, it starts off with disgruntled doctor who wants to play video games. And then somebody else rises up out of jealousy to say, you know what, these things that are going on are not right, and we should strike about it. These hours are too long. They're putting hubes before sombes, and people are like, wait,
that's not how the strike started though.
Wasn't it because they were overworked, and then one was jealous, and he got on the whole bandwagon. The one who doesn't do any work.
Oh, he was comic relief. I think my favorite part was when he's stuck in traffic. He goes, I just went out for lunch to get a burger. He kept repeating the same story over and over again. I love that scene. It was so, so great.
Yeah. He always seems to miss everything that's important, but then he wants to head up a strike? Dude, you don't do any work. You're already striking.
It was, it was when the new trauma, when the young trauma center doctor came and took over.
Yeah.
And he was doing changes. And they didn't like his changes. So what he did is he capitalized on the emotions that everyone already had.
Yeah.
Because that young doctor who was complaining about playing video games, he was not in trauma. He was not part of the trauma team.
No, he wasn't.
He worked in the Doldom Hospital Emergency Center.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was. Yeah. So I would say it's more like what you said, the jealousy part, where he was just upset about this guy coming in, and he thought that he thought that the professor who's the head of the hospital, I think he was expecting him to take that role.
Yeah.
Maybe. And he's like, who's this new young guy coming in making these changes and whatnot?
Right.
And I think
he goes out for lunch and comes back with burgers. That's his role on this show.
Oh, God.
He's missing in action when he's supposed to be doing doctoring. And he's like, what happened today? They're like, oh, my God.
Really, truly, I personally think it was his fault that little boy did not make it. Because that doctor was going to leave the room, and he's like, I'm not confident. Can you show me how to do it? And then he had to stay longer.
Yeah.
So then by the time when he did leave, other emergencies kept coming in.
Yeah.
And then that little boy was just in a room, kind of
there was just forgotten.
And then on top of that, the little boy took off his little thing.
Yeah, his monitor.
That's just not okay.
Yeah.
But also, the hospital was so big and such little staff, so it was hard to manage all the rooms. But that strike was, it
wasn't comical. That hard. In that case,
in this situation,
they were liable. They just forgot about him. They legit. And everybody who said, you know what, I didn't go back and check. Oh, yeah, I did. There was a lot of negligence that it was busy. I get that it was busy, but nobody really went back to check.
No, the nurse went back. The nurse did go back.
But his monitor thing was off.
Yeah, no, but not when she went back. He took it off later.
Yes.
But she did go back and check on him.
But usually she would do more checks. Usually she's like the one who's always because towards the end of that day, she's like, did anybody go and check on that patient? She was still in that mindset. And then they found out that he had died.
Okay. But
everybody realized that we made a mistake.
How it aired, it looked like negligence. But when you watch the video, when they showed the video back and you saw that every time he went to a hall, a patient came in.
Yeah. No, I understand the emergency patients.
Everyone did definitely forget about that boy.
But they forgot about him because his case was not severe.
He seemed like he was fine. He came in and he wasn't in the worst shape.
But if he was, okay, this is my riddle me this, riddle me that. If they had sent him to Doldom instead of the trauma center, he would have been okay.
If he went to Doldom instead of the trauma center, because Doldom, everyone is just
everybody's there, in one room, you could not miss him.
He probably might have been okay with there.
Yeah.
And that's all because Dr. Kim is really good at walking to everyone. He just does like a stroll through the ER on a regular basis. They're like, who's this guy? But there's cases in Doldom where people disappear. Like when the nurse was attacked by this old friend.
Oh, yeah.
No one knew where he went. Even the big guy who they always call him, Mr. Chu.
Yeah.
When they called Mr. Chu.
Mr. Chu.
When they called him, I was like, Mr. Chu, aren't you supposed to be watching this man? He's disappearing. He didn't even realize that guy was gone. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know what?
I don't know.
To me, that makes total sense because when you're in a hospital setting, there's so many tasks and so many things that you have to do.
Yes.
So it's easy for you to forget about a patient. There's been times where I've been in the hospital or been to visit someone in a hospital and not see anybody come in for, and you start to say, is anybody checking on you? Are you, you know what I mean? But things are busy, you know?
And also, where it speaks for the strike, they're understaffed. Everyone, the hospitals are understaffed. Like even now, hospitals are understaffed. There's not enough workers. And
for the people,
yeah. And they're not even getting paid enough or getting enough benefits, you know, for the what they're currently doing.
Yeah.
And like what they're showing in Dr. Romantic and all the seasons is that they're having to work overtime. Like it's happening.
Not
so
beyond
often.
Overtime, over days. That's
over
not
days.
Time. Like it's, this is beyond it's time.
Just, yes, they've had to do that. That's like a thing in the medical field that is a common thing that keeps going, keeps being perceived and being perpetrated. So I love the strike that started, though I didn't like the intention behind how it started. Like that one doctor going around to everyone and then just feeding into what they already, their disgruntled nature.
He was the hype man. He was gassing people seeds. Up.
He's gassing everyone up.
Planting seeds because at the end of the day, he was jealous that his hubei got a better job than him. But at least he does work. You do. Yes, you buy sandwiches.
Okay, I have a question though. Do you think her decision, okay, so the Dr. Cha's decision.
Yeah.
Do you think her decision to go to disobey a direct order as a trauma now?
She was wrong.
She was wrong.
Yeah.
I personally think I'm like, you were wrong.
Yeah.
You were wrong and you were wrong and strong.
Yeah.
Because what happened is the reason he's worked in trauma centers and he's basically putting in a new system in place. It's not what you guys are used to, but in the world, this is how trauma centers are operated on. You cannot work cases that are not trauma cases for the possibility of when a trauma case comes in.
Yeah.
And then this situation that happened, and they basically had no one to do the operation, and he had to work a way out of doing it. She didn't come in. It wasn't apologetic. I was like, I was saving a patient. And then what, she was working on a leg?
No, it was, what kind of surgery?
It wasn't a surgery of the heart, though. Because I know
it was an important it was a surgery that she's in.
It was a surgery that someone else could have done over in the emergency wing.
Yeah, but they were all busy and she was doing nothing. So she felt that it was the right thing to do.
Also, and the fact that she didn't tell that doctor to call a doctor. Because what that doctor said, this is what the doctor said. He goes, talk to Dr. Kim. He wasn't pulling rank. He was like, talk to Dr. Kim. If Dr. Kim says this is needed, Or
he can't do it.
He can do it, then we'll decide. Yeah. The doctor never even called Dr. Kim.
She just
so
did
Dr.
It.
Kim didn't even know what was happening.
No, because he was in doing another surgery.
He was doing another surgery. If he left that surgery, he would have walked over because after he left the surgery, he just saw and said, oh, she's operating over here.
Yeah. Oh, what is she doing over here?
Why is she over here? It was just because you guys did not follow protocol and the directions from leadership, it created a very serious situation that could have gone terribly bad.
Well, it goes back to the what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because that's how Dr. Kim trained them. And now they were having to be retrained. And so it was strange to them. When they were in DOTAM, there were rules, but there weren't really rules. Like, it was kind of loosey-goosey.
This is what I'll add to that, though. Because I don't think he trained them on that. And that's the problem. He just said that patients, we have to save every patient. We try and do everything we can for every patient.
Yeah.
So now they just receive every patient as being equal.
Yeah.
Whereas in a trauma center, it's systematic.
Different. It's different.
It's different. It's not just like as cases come in, you kind of work on it, you work it out. And this is one thing that would have happened in the DOTAM hospital or the emergency wing, communication.
Yeah.
Because you didn't respect the leader, you didn't communicate and didn't listen to his instruction.
Yeah, she was wrong. Said, she was wrong.
Because if she would have told Dr. Kim the situation and Dr. Kim said, we do need the help, he would have sent you over there. So then when that case came in, he would have known, okay, this is the situation.
He didn't even know where she was.
He didn't even know where you were. You just left.
Yeah, you would have been fired orders. For that.
Absolutely. And she should have got fired. Yeah. So then when she kind of got railed up and talking about she going strike, I was like, oh, no, you were definitely wrong in that situation.
Absolutely wrong. But in her mind, she's like, but I was saving somebody.
Yes, and I'm like, that's besides the point. We're all saving people.
Yeah.
Like, you remove that. This is still an environment, a work environment where there's order.
And again, it goes to, I don't respect you.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to do what you
say. And then the strike happened. So I'm watching the strike. And first of all, that one doctor, useless doctor, seeding this this energy was the best. Yeah. I'm just going around. You can see the image of him just going from person to person, and the scene changes, and you see him talking. This is just not right.
This is the most work he'd done in two seasons. Was going around and trying to have this strike
to incite a rebellion.
Yeah, that was the most stuff he's done in two seasons. God.
But I
even though he's consistent though, because he's been trying to skull work since season two when he first came to the hospital. Oh, it's beneath me. All now he's not doing work. He's just skating by.
Okay, you know who else? What else I loved was the nurse who she's like the head of the hospital who she's like, I still don't trust him. So she didn't even like call him like a professor or anything like that. And him going, are you ever going to call me a professor? Like, I've been here. I'm working with Dr. Kim. Like, I'm doing what he's asking me to do. Like, what else do I have to do?
Yeah.
And only at the last episode did she actually say, have a nice evening, professor, such and such. To the make he gave him pause and he turned. He's just like, wow. It took like 2 years. No, three years. It took 3 years for you to even call me in a respectful way of like, honoring my position.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Because even when it happened, I, as a watcher, was kind of like, it took me a minute to go, wait a second. Did she call him with respect? And his face was just like, I love that scene too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, she's been at Dotem for a very, very long time. She's an OG.
Yeah. And her blow up in the trauma was warranted.
And she has seen so many things.
Yeah.
And seen so many people come and go and what have you.
Yeah.
And she's a ride or die. She has the back, not only of Dr. Kim, but of the hospital.
Yes.
She sees the greater good. She's friends with them. They're friends with her. And she wants what's best for the hospital. And she'll tell you if you're right, and she'll tell you when you're wrong.
Yes. And I also loved that even when they went on strike, she was like, I understand you guys going on strike. I get it.
Yeah. So, but we don't have time to strike right now because we have stuff to do.
So we don't have time to strike, but also at the same time, I get your decision.
Yeah.
I understand it. I'm not going on strike, but I do support you do what you have to do.
Yeah.
I thought that was like really great.
Yeah.
Even as she's struggling when they're all on strike, she understood their reasoning for doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit of, she kept talking to Dr. Kim saying, hey, there's a lot of problems happening in the trauma center. Yeah. He's like, you didn't call me. So like, I think he'll work it out. She's like, all right, Dr. Kim, but there's some issues happening over here.
Yeah.
Let's just support her. I need you to support him. And yeah. She's like, okay, yeah. I'll try and support him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was...
It was a great drama.
He came in also as the head of the trauma center, came in hot, and I don't think he took a minute to listen to their case or explain his reasoning behind his decision.
But you know what? He was... I kind of liked that they made that choice as a character choice for him because it's very consistent to how he was when he first came in. Oh,
he's consistently this that way.
He's consistently that
way. It was kind of... And I love how he just came to Dr. Kim to his face and kind of was like, hey, I'm just letting you know, I need you to not interfere in the trauma center. I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah. And that was his condition for taking. Yeah, his
condition for taking.
He goes, I'm the boss. You can't interfere.
And Dr. Kim's like, okay. And he didn't. To his credit, he did not interfere.
No.
Even the strike happened, he did not interfere. He's like, he'll work it out. I'm sure he'll work it out. But yeah, I think that there's a lot, he needed to do a lot more explaining than to do this bulldozering of changing rules.
Well, it seems that all these bulldozers don't work very well in Dota.
And they keep trying.
Absolutely.
You need to give them a reason for them doing it. And I think if you give them reasons for it, this is why I'm making this change.
Yeah.
This is why it's important. This is what, this is a trauma center. You guys have not experienced a trauma center. I have experienced trauma center.
Well,
and there's reasons and things I've learned through the time. I think the only one who understood that it was more complicated than what they're letting on was Wu Jin.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, again, it comes down to the lack of communication. The head feeling like, I don't need to communicate that. Yes. I'm the boss.
Yes.
You should just do what I say.
Correct.
And then the people who grew up under the tutelage of Dr. Kim, who are just kind of like, but hey, yeah. Like every single person on his staff who he recruited, all problems and rebels. Every single one of them.
But you know what's so interesting? You're right. It's like he was, they're all wild
child.
Wild horses. Like there's a Black Beauty was wild horse. Yeah. And he kind of like tamed him a bit.
Yeah.
Or I will say this. I think he kind of, when he came in thinking that they would have the same respect level that they had for Dr. Kim.
And they did not.
Because Dr. Kim pushes his weight around very easy too. Whereas, and he says like, do this. But Dr. Kim has earned that respect where they can follow his lead without questioning it.
So this guy who's been away working and doing at this trauma center, they're just like, I don't know you like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're 3 years older than me. Come on. So, I remember you. You used to be in my surges where I used to fall down. I used to fall asleep.
I just know it's very interesting too. It's like, also, they never saw him work. So this is another thing, whereas in the first doctor, Professor Cha, when he came in, and he's just like, and then I think Dr. Kim was kind of like, you should do the surgery. And he's like, show them what you can do. And he kind of used it. He goes, you want me to perform? He goes, yes, you got to perform for them to even revere you as like someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And he had to do a surgery and he performed for them and they saw how he worked.
Yeah.
Where a few of them, he was able to, they were able to understand that, okay, he has talent. He has some sense.
Yes.
You want to say it?
Absolutely.
He know what I'm going to do. Okay. We see it now. But I think when when he came back and was kind of pushed this weight around, first of all, again, you're right. He's this young guy. You could be this young genius doctor, but until I actually see it for myself, I'm just going to look at you and say, who is this young guy trying to tell me what to do?
Absolutely. Right?
And that's how they kind of did it. And it was hard for them to see the worth. And I think the only doctor that kind of fully got it or understood it was when was Wu Jin, when he did the surgery with him and he saw him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to learn a skill.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I've never seen someone move as fast as Dr. Kim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you have to show them what you can do for them to start respecting you a bit.
Yeah. Because he respected him after that. He's just like, it's like Dr. Tim, but...
Yes.
The knot's going so super fast.
Yes.
He's done already? He's done that portion of the surgery? How did he do that?
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
I thought that was, I feel like in that world, that's what you kind of need to do to get that respect faster.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the opportunity to do that because then he just started straight into the system and setting up reorganizing the trauma center because they're running the trauma center like the emergency center and that's not how you're supposed to.
Yeah, true. So who was your favorite character?
Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this off the top of a bat because I know our favorite character is Dr. Kim, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we should pick a different person because we know he's going to be the favorite character. Who is your second favorite character? That's what I'll answer. Okay, as you think, I have mine already.
Okay.
Mine was Professor Cha.
Really?
I just love that he was like this anti-hero and antithesis of Dr. Romantic, Dr. Kim. I love their banter. I love their theatrical scenes on the top stairs. Every time they were up there arguing.
I love that they pulled out a heavyweight to come
I love that. Every time they argued, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his scenes. I even enjoyed when he was facing to the lady who just lost her child. I just was kind of like, I can't... The gall he had to say what was... You know, at the back of my head a bit, where it's like, lady, I understand what happened to your son. I'm like, but they were really busy. And I'm like, your son took off the thing, so they didn't even notice that it happened. Because he took it off, they would have been alerted to it. And they would have, I think, if he had that on and they got the alert, someone would have ran in there and they would have been able to help him. But because he took it off, he was left unattended for such a long time. And I just thought the fact that she was going to seek war on the hospital was horrible. So I don't know. I just enjoyed how I disagree with some of his motives and moves, what he did, but I appreciated him respecting his daughter's choice and who she wanted to be with.
Yeah.
Whereas his wife is just like, no, his family background and all this foolishness.
Yeah.
Where I kind of appreciated their conversations. I love when they talked. I love when they disagreed, you know. Even when he lost his mind when someone sent him the pen or something.
Yeah.
Even he lost his mind. Because you were able to find out what happened. Then he revealed the story and the hurt behind and why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
Okay. I'm gonna choose something that, well, Dr. Kim, of course, was my
of course, that's choice. Why I said it's pick second favorite.
But I don't know if it's my second favorite, but I'll say the one that really sticks out to me,
uh-huh.
as I would say a scene stealer or what have you, was the disgruntled newbie doctor.
Oh, gosh.
I really liked his storyline because mm-hmm. I was invested in getting to know this, like, why does he just wants to go play video games. Like, they have all this surgery. He snuck away. He turned off his phone. Like, he was doing the most to just have a normal 9-to-5. He's just like, I don't even know if I want to be a doctor. And I really enjoyed his story arc and then him falling in love with the doctor who's dating the nurse and trying to, you know, weasel his way into their relationship. And then, you know, and then finding out that he was actually the brother of Dr. Kim's first patient who started calling him.
Who called him Dr. Romantic, I think,
called
right?
him Dr. Romantic.
Or Master Kim. Or
Master Kim. She's the first one to call him Master Kim.
Or Dr. Romantic.
Master
like
Kim.
That.
Master, it was
Master Kim.
Kim.
Okay, yeah.
And he wanted to know how she got that name, and it was his sister.
You know, the whole episode, I thought it was going to be like his child that he didn't know about.
Right. I was wondering if he had a secret son.
I was like,
son,
you have a son you don't know about?
That was disgruntled, yeah. You know, disgruntled secret son. But but I was just like, wow, I liked that. I wasn't expecting that. Mm-hmm. And when he was taking his tapes and listening to it over and over, I'm like, that's weird. Why do you want to listen to?
No, he had his own tapes. I think
found Dr. Romantic's tapes that he always listens to.
Okay, I thought he had his own. His sister used to make tapes as well.
Yeah,
I think,
but
she's
he found
Dr. Gave...
Romantic's ones and he was listening to.
Are
them.
You positive?
Yeah.
Because then why did Dr. Rankin not take his own cassette that he left on the side table?
No, because he had noticed that he has the cassettes like I had the cassettes. But he was listening to things on cassette. So it made me, I didn't know until the end that, oh, he's kind of listening to something that was his sister's, which was kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So wait, you watched and you thought he was taking his cassette?
I thought he was just listening to it because there's been other characters in the past who have listened to his cassettes to want to know what is he listening to.
Oh,
but
okay,
from
okay.
That for me was him listening to not just Doctor, to see what Dr. Kim was listening to, the fact that it was his sister. And he didn't let him know until the end, or they didn't share that fact to yeah. almost the end.
It's unclear. It was unclear if Dr. Kim knew or not. I can't remember.
I don't think he knew right away.
I don't think he knew right away.
No.
I think maybe when he saw the cassette, he speculated, though.
Yeah, and...
Because I believe his sister was the one who gave his Dr. Kim that mixtape first.
Yes, and what I thought was very interesting was it kind of drew line to how he was, because he said he was only becoming a doctor to fulfill his sister's desire mm-hmm. to become a doctor,
mm-hmm.
which kind of showed why he had no romance
yes,
to it.
Had, there was no romance attached.
No.
He took it as a job.
He took it as a job. And he was trying to fulfill his sister's dream,
yes.
not his dream.
What did he want to be before?
Maybe a video game player.
No, did they mention it?
I don't know if they mentioned it.
You might have forgotten, but
he really liked video games. So
but you're right, yeah.
Maybe he wanted to be a professional gamer.
He just wanted to relax and just have a little fun.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't want to deal with all this.
No, he didn't want to deal with all that.
Okay, so...
So that was interesting to me.
It was very interesting. I did... When you said his name, I was like, I did love him too. All of it. Like, he just was like... He was
so disgruntled.
Would be in that world. He is what we would be in that world where we don't want to be overworked.
Like, they're calling me again. I just want to go eat food.
There's many times that I've seen a call come through. Like, even at work. I never answer my phone at work. I'm like, listen... If I pick up this call, you're going to take an hour out of my day. I don't have time.
Yeah.
So leave a message.
I'll get back to you.
Or email me and I'll pick it up later and call you back. I was that person.
Yeah.
Because phone calls take too long for me. I'm like, so I get his disgruntled nature where I was supposed to be off yesterday. I'm now working 8 hours over. And he just disappears. He doesn't pick up his phone. It's kind of like,
yeah.
All his energy was so funny to me.
Yeah. And he was just like, what's the problem?
Yeah. He's like, he doesn't understand.
No. Yeah.
I think I love too was like when he turned the leaf, like, I think he felt when he was like, you know, his ego was kind of like bruised. To the nurse, like, you're a nurse, I'm a doctor. But then you find out that you don't know how to read an ultrasound. How are you pushing your weight right now?
He's basic.
You're basic. The nurse knows how to read it better than you.
I bet you know he knows how to get to the final level in Final Fantasy, though.
He definitely he knows how to get to the level in game, you know.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, he was fun and interesting. Yeah.
So what would you rate this show on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10?
Yeah. Season three.
I'm adding my enjoyment point. So I would say 9.
I said 9 too.
This was enjoyable.
Yeah.
This is highly rewatchable.
Yes.
You know, I always vote rewatchability. If I'm able to rewatch a drama, for sure. Yeah. And how it's filmed too, I was at point. So this is definitely a number 9.
Yeah, I would say a 9 as well.
Yeah.
No points today. No extra point.
No point. No, 8.9.
No, it was a solid 9.
Solid 9. You're decimals. Okay, so now let's get into this music. So okay. What songs did you enjoy?
You know, there was a lot of songs that I enjoyed. So let's start with a song called Hello by Baekhyun.
Hello, hello, hello. 난 깨지고 상처뿐이지만 반겨 맞아줄 건가요? Hello, hello.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I think she's a member of EXO, if I'm correct.
Oh, really?
Yep. I think I'm right. I think that's who it is. So I like the song. It's called Still You by Song Hwan.
넘치던 행복 그 너머에 눈물과 슬픔이 있었어. 유난히 따뜻했던 가을 뒤에 시린 겨울밤이 있었어.
I remember that in the drama a lot. Right? Yeah.
This is by 17 K-pop star.
Oh.
17, the group.
Okay, cool. Another song that I really enjoyed was a song called Beautiful Day by Do Young. It was great.
That sounded really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, then my next one, I only have two more, but they both were instrumental.
Okay.
I'm now on the instrumental wagon.
Nice.
But it sounded really nice. And I think I remember this in the drama when it's called Critical Moment. So you can only imagine when it was played. You can just hear the urgency.
Yeah, there is. That's a really good. I loved it
when that song came on. I loved it.
Yeah. I have one more song, and it's called 100 Love by Lia Itzy.
I
Beautiful, I went over my 30 seconds for that
one.
Yeah,
you did.
It was nice. I really liked it. It was lovely. So my last song is the instrumental, Irreplaceable. Not an instrumental. I'm not gonna lie, I don't think this was ever played in the drama.
But it's cool though.
But it's cool.
I like that song.
For some reason I thought it was instrumental, but I was incorrect.
I like it. I like it.
I enjoyed that one a lot.
Okay. So if you have not had the opportunity to watch Dr. Romantic 3 haven't. Or any of the
just watch the series.
Watch the series. Start at one.
Start at don't do two, then go to one, then go to three.
Yeah.
Do 1, 2, 3.
Go 1, 2, 3. You will definitely enjoy it. I certainly did. Number 3 is my favorite, and I'm praying for number 4.
They have to. They didn't end 3. Again, 3 was a part 1.
3 was a, like, I want to see more. I want to see more. So if you want to see more, please check it out. And until next time, folks, miss you.
Miss you.